When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The fifth leading rusher of all time is coming off the couch.
They give it to Peterson, running to the left.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
All day! Yeah! Touchdown! Tight!
You can't predict this league ever.
Earlier on the show, Patriots linebacker Matthew Judon. Still to come. From NBC Sports, Peter King, Cardinals quarterback Colt McCoy. Plus, your phone calls, Complete Week 9 NFL recap, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Nice chat with Matthew Judon of the Patriots in hour number one. You know, I mean, the Patriots are 5-4. They're your seventh seed right now. Coming into week number 10, their rookie quarterback looks nothing like a rookie at all. He is, is he 3-0 against the Jets this year? Because he's beaten the Jets twice and then just beat Sam Darnold. Who else can he take on?
That counts.
Is Ray Lucas still in the league for him to go beat? I don't know. You know?
Ray Lucas.
I don't know. So they look terrific, man. They're your seventh seed right now and have a lot of winnable games, certainly for a team that's got a stout defense and an efficient offense that doesn't turn it over, and a defense that turns you over, and a special teams coached by one of the greatest coaches of all time at that position, who also just happens to be one of the greatest coaches of all time. We've got Colt McCoy in hour number three. The Cardinals go into San Francisco without their first-string quarterback. First and second-string wide receivers lose their first-string running back in the middle of the first quarter, get three touchdowns from the backup running back, and a near-clean slate game from their backup quarterback, and Colt McCoy is in hour number three. Joining me right now is a Pro Football Hall of Famer in that wing of the Great Hall in Canton, Ohio, from NBC Sports and the Football Morning in America column that you can catch on Pro Football Talk is a great Peter King. How are you, PK?
Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
I'm well. I opened the show today, Peter, with the details of what is, to me, and I've been fortunate to now, this is my 19th season with NFL Network since leaving ESPN and doing that. I don't remember a week like this, and I know that there's such a thing as parody, but the week itself with the headlines leading up and then the results of the weekend, is this the craziest week you've ever seen, Peter? I know that's hyperbole, but I'll give you the floor on it.
I think it is, Rich, because, first of all, it was a huge week on the week of the trading deadline for who was traded, Von Miller, and who was not. You know, Deshaun Watson and Odell Beckham was a big week because Beckham basically now has talked his way out of Cleveland and will go play for somebody else. And now we'll find out if he is a shell of his former self or whether he's still got a lot of good football left. And it was a big weekend because of the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, certainly, and also because of one of the biggest tragedies involving an NFL player, certainly in the 38 seasons I've been covering the game. I don't remember something that is as sort of as heinous and as reprehensible as somebody driving 156 miles an hour on city streets in an American city and slamming into another vehicle and basically incinerating a woman and her dog in the other vehicle. And it isn't the other part of that story that I wrote a little bit about today is just that, if you look at what Henry Ruggs was, he was basically kind of the crown jewel of Mike Mayock's rebuilding of the Las Vegas Raiders. And now he's just gone. It's amazing that in the last month, just overnight, in a matter of seconds, really, the head coach and the most promising skill player on the Las Vegas Raiders, who are still a first-place team, by the way, just vanished. They just vanished. They're gone. With no time to prepare for how to adjust to life without them. So it's just, this has been a crazy week, and it's been a crazy time period in the NFL.
And then you can also throw in there the trading away of a crown jewel of a franchise, John Elway's first draft choice with Denver, Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 50, the milestone Super Bowl MVP, to Los Angeles, and the Rams don't play him because he's not healthy enough yet. They lose to a Titans team that loses Derrick Henry and then puts Adrian Peterson in, who scores, and they win. You know, Jordan loved ones in the last row of a stadium. The Jaguars beating the Bills. Honestly, it's really, and the Cardinals doing what they did. The Saints coming back from 18 down, 22-point fourth quarter, and they still lose at the last second. I honestly don't remember anything like this. Nothing.
But what about the Josh Allen on Josh Allen cross?
There's another one, you know, and the Jaguars win their first game on American soil in 420 days. Don't score a touchdown. They lost for a second their crown jewel at quarterback. He comes back in the game. It's that's why one of the many reasons why I haven't spoken to you in a while, I'll have you on, is just to put it in perspective. What did we learn from this week? Or is this just one of those bury the game film? Because the Broncos, after losing Von Miller, trading him away, they boat raced the Cowboys, almost damn shut him out.
I mean, that should have been a shutout. I mean, Mike McCarthy, in my opinion, you know, just put Dak Prescott, who is coming off a calf injury anyway.
So weird.
You know, please put him in the cupboard until next game. You've lost this one. But last night I was sitting down to write, and a head coach in the NFL, you know, sits down and you know, because I was texting back and forth with him about what a crazy day it was, and he basically said, every week in the NFL is like this. I wish I had the quote in front of me. I don't. But every week in the NFL is like this. Every week is almost a season in and of itself. And, Rich, and that's why, to me, I'm not saying that you don't pay attention to a week like this when you're thinking about, well, who's good and who's not good. But I also think that you can't allow one week for you to say, well, I was wrong about the Bills. They stink. I was wrong about the Rams. They can't play a physical style and beat a good team. And I was wrong about this team and wrong about that team. You know, the fact is, I covered the Raiders and the Giants on Sunday in the Meadowlands. And the fact is, Derek Carr has had two lousy games this year. Played lousy against the Bears in Vegas, and he was really lousy yesterday. He overthrew wide open Darren Waller in the end zone, underthrew Zay Jones, the replacement for 10 minutes for Henry Ruggs until they traded for DeSean Jackson, which we didn't even mention.
Right.
Or until they signed him. But be that as it may, the point is, I still think the Raiders are pretty good. And so I just don't think in today's NFL you can allow one game, one week, to skew what you've seen for 8 weeks.
And I guess just to put a bow on it, Peter King, I mean, if you had to guess, if you knew what was happening this week and you could have chosen your bye week for this year, I would have chosen week 9 and the Bucs sit this one out and the Packers, Cowboys, Rams, and Saints all lose. I mean, what a great week. Feet up. You know, smoke them if you got them. You know, what a week for them to sit out.
The weird part too that, you know, and again, let's get political. The weird part of this week too is that obviously I think we all think that if Aaron Rodgers plays in that game in Kansas City yesterday,
no doubt,
there's a 90% chance the Packers win.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that was the first time yesterday in more than 4 years that Devontae Adams didn't catch at least half of the balls thrown to him. And, you know, look, Jordan Love, at least right now, and who knows what the future holds, he's not an accurate enough passer to scare any defense. And that's why, to me, look, if a quarterback who is unvaccinated tests positive on a Friday for COVID, he misses two games. Now, Aaron Rodgers is fortunate. He tested positive on a Wednesday.
Right.
So, assuming that next Saturday morning at Lambeau Field, when he goes in to, get his COVID test, assuming he tests negative, and that may be a bad assumption, but I would assume he would test negative. And if he does, then he'll play against Seattle on Sunday, setting up a game that I believe Russell Wilson is going to play. So instead of having Geno Smith versus Jordan Love, it looks like we could have Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers.
And hopefully we get to lose ourselves in all of that and enjoy the football. Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. What did happen with Odell in Cleveland? What's your best sense on what actually did happen there?
You know, I talked to a coach this weekend who I think is interested in Odell Beckham, and they spent some time late in the week watching him on tape, and mm-hmm. they didn't think he was a disciplined route runner and that he has lost that aspect, especially if you're in what you might consider a precision offense. And look, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL who basically need you to be at a certain spot and are going to kind of throw it to that spot, so you better be there. For instance, if he went to Tampa Bay, Tom Brady is famous for, you know, having a trust with his receivers. And look, I think if Odell Beckham Jr. went to Tampa Bay, and I doubt he will, but I think if he did, then he would get it straight right away. Hey, listen, if you're not in the spot that I'm going to throw to, I'll give you a couple of chances, but if you're not there, I'm not throwing it to you anymore. And my pet theory, although I certainly haven't studied tape the way a scout would, my pet theory is that that's why the Browns may have gone away from Baker Mayfield or gone away from Odell Beckham, if indeed that is the case. But I also think, Rich, that there are times when removing someone from a team and from an organization is a positive, no matter how good he is or no matter how much of an impact player you thought he was when you traded for him. In my opinion, this was, I'm not saying long overdue, but this was overdue. This was a guy who just simply was not happy, was not getting the ball. And it's all well and good to say, man, this guy can ruin a defense and all that stuff. I mean, when is the last time you've seen Odell Beckham Jr., play a great football game? I'll tell you when it was. It was over a year ago when Cleveland went to Dallas and he scored a couple of touchdowns and was, just a huge factor all over the field. Then he gets the knee injury, and this whole year he's not been impactful at all. So I think it's overdue what the Browns did.
So we're assuming he's going to fall through waivers, that the contract will be significant enough to have him fall through waivers. Then what? Give us the over the
You know, Rich, room. I think the logical landing spots for him, among others, Seattle is one. I know Russell Wilson really wants him there. But Russell Wilson has said that he wants a lot of players there. He wanted Antonio Brown, and they didn't get him. And the Josh Gordon experiment was little more than a cup of coffee. So I know Seattle, there's some sentiment that Seattle will look at him. And obviously, it would be great. But you wonder, with the problems they're having at quarterback, do they want to add a squeaky wheel to that team, plus the fact that New Orleans has less than no money? And so I think that's going to be an issue. If Odell Beckham Jr. really wants to go play in New Orleans, they probably can figure a way to make it happen, mm-hmm. but he's going to have to play for no money. And I don't know that, I have no idea what the Odell Beckham Jr. side is expecting as far as financial remuneration, but I don't think they're going to get much money out of the Saints.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, if Jameis was there, he might say, why not? And obviously, playing for Sean Payton is without question something that I think would entice. But, you know, Trevor Siemian did struggle for three-plus quarters in New Orleans this past week. So what about Green Bay? Is that total pie in the sky insanity? Doesn't fit their offense? Don't want them? I mean, wouldn't you think that Rodgers
I think it's a great concept, you know, in theory.
Right.
And again, I think it really depends on what you think about him as a football player. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're studying Odell Beckham Jr. very hard there.
Right.
But I don't mean to be on the Brian Gutekunst bandwagon here, but their problems when Aaron Rodgers is on the field aren't that they're not scoring enough.
Yeah, right.
And it'd be great to have another weapon. I just wonder what they're going to see when they put on the tape.
So where do you think he winds up? I mean,
I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say New Orleans because it's clearly where he wants to go.
Okay.
Or one of the places that he really wants to go. But I don't know, Rich. I'd be absolutely guessing, and that would be my guess.
Ask Peter King the poll question as we send him out on his merry Monday. Chris Brockman, go for it.
All right, Peter, here's what we got. Which team took a step back from what you thought of them before Week 9? Bengals, Bills, Cowboys, Rams.
Those are four bury-the-tape type performances of those teams in Week 9. What do you think?
Well, I'd say probably the Bengals because, look, 2 weeks ago I had the anointing oils out for Cincinnati. And I thought that they were going to, there certainly would be a playoff team, and they might even win their division. Then they lose to the Jets, and it's easy to say, well, that's just 1 week road game. Weird things happen there. They got throttled by the Browns. And Burrow, for the second straight week, didn't play well. Now, I love Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is going to be great for a long time. But when he doesn't play well, that team is just not very good. It's almost to the level of Aaron Rodgers not being there. When Burrow doesn't play well, they don't have a great chance to win. And so I think that game, even though I didn't necessarily think they were going to beat the Browns, just getting throttled by them, it just really surprised me.
I mean, the addition by subtraction, I guess, that Odell was, that was something else, huh? Right? From that performance?
But I think a lot of times if you take away a player on your team who for whatever reason is dragging you down, and either because he's in the huddle, negative energy, not getting the ball, throwing his hands in the air, doing whatever, if you have that on your team, you're better off saying, hey, Donovan Peoples-Jones, I need you to be an excellent number two for the rest of the year. And he started to show yesterday that he can be one. So let's see what happens. But I think there is a little bit more peace and prosperity on the Browns, both in the locker room and on the field yesterday, and we'll see if that lasts.
Peter, thanks for the time. I knew your perspective would be just what the doctor ordered here, man. I mean, I honestly, from this at this 1 week ago today is when we learned Von Miller. Literally 1 week ago at this point in time is when we learned Von Miller was on the move, and then the rest of it just went off center, to say the least.
Yeah, it was a fun week, but I'd really appreciate a quieter one.
That's right. Take care of yourself, PK. Thanks for the call.
Okay, see you, Rich.
The one and only Peter King. Everybody should check out his Football Morning in America column, profootballtalk.com, NBCSports.com, right here. What are you guys laughing about over there?
Just text me something.
Oh, nothing. TJ wanted to make this insane, this trade that I thought he should do, and he was like, no, Joe Burrow. I was like, but Justin Herbert, bro.
Justin Herbert. What a great game he had in Philadelphia yesterday.
Rich, I was right 3 weeks in a row. And then this week, I was wrong.
Okay. All right.
For 3 weeks, I was right.
All right. Look, all Browns fans want him to retract. You want to have Darnold over Baker for long term. You want to retract that one? That's up there with Giannis. You know, don't break up the Bucks. Don't break up the Heat for Giannis.
Rich, it's really not.
Yes, it is.
No, you
want to take Darnold long term. You would take Darnold long term over Baker Mayfield.
That is nowhere near saying that you wouldn't trade for Giannis.
It's absolutely in the same thing.
Rich, no, it's not. Honestly, it's not. It's no.
It's the right church, maybe the wrong pew. But
no, it's not
the
even
church.
The same religion, bro.
Good answer.
Thank you, TJ.
That's because I stole your Cowboy sign to start the game. Start the show. All right, well, we'll come back. Your phone calls, Overreaction Monday. If there's any week that the overreaction could be the strongest, it's this one. That's coming up. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
If you just showed Russell Wilson's video of him saying it's time, he's back. They showed him throughout the whole process of looking at his finger in an x-ray with a doctor. Everything's content these days. He shot all of this moments of learning that he needed the pin. The pin's cool. Taken out. Now it's time. Cool. It's great. It's exciting. But he used the theme from Succession.
Yeah.
By the way, assume tape. I did not see it
yet.
I
haven't seen last night either.
I watched.
I haven't seen yet. Assume tape.
It's great.
I haven't seen Curb yet either.
Neither.
On Sunday night when the clocks go back, even though you're supposed to get an extra hour of sleep.
I'm out. Yep.
Experience that for the first time.
Dude, nothing.
Now I get it.
What did I tell you?
Now I get it.
Nothing.
It's the worst.
More cruel and unusual for parents of baby kids.
My God.
Or kids in general. Until they're teenagers.
Just kids in general.
The turning of the clocks back and forward messes up the entire operation, and kids don't get it. My kids now are, well, hold on a second.
Your kids get it.
Unfortunately, my kids are now too old for me to pull the old trick that you still haven't worked yet. You don't move the clocks on the first couple days. Let them figure it out themselves.
Well, he can't tell time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's not good enough for you yet. But when he starts to tell time.
Yeah. When does that happen?
You know,
when does the time telling start?
Time telling starts around like 3-4 years old.
Okay, all right.
And what you do is you get a clock in the room, and then you say, you do not come out of the room until there's a 7 on the clock.
Oh, that's genius.
Except you have to black out the other two numbers because we did that with Xander, and he came out at 527.
Smart, smart. Job.
And so Susie and I had to put a book up against the
that's pretty good.
Second and third numbers on the clock.
Cage so, wasn't bad on Sunday. It was this morning.
Of course.
It was the second day. He was up at 5 o'clock before, like 4:55 this morning.
Of course. That's what happens.
It's
and it's going to get worse tomorrow.
It's brutal.
And it
it's
gets
brutal.
Worse and worse, and then it'll get better. Just like everything with parenting.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
But it's cruel. And I said that all the time. And
no, I know.
All those
I,
years,
I,
you're like, yeah, whatever, Rich. Yeah, wake up.
I
mean, go to sleep early.
I never
you know, whatever you got to do. You know?
Keep them up late.
Yeah, keep them up late.
Keep them up late.
Now, welcome to the world.
And it's pitch black at 5 o'clock. Like, what are we doing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I hate
so
it.
You're not out there with the crops then?
No, we're not.
Not doing it?
We're not
Mr. Farmer's
corn.
Almanac?
It's terrible. It's terrible. I get it. I'm on your side now.
Ah.
It took 10 years.
Unfortunately, though, you had to realize the misery for yourself.
Yeah, it took 10 years.
Before you came around. Okay. If there's been any week that is more prone to overreaction in the NFL in the 19 seasons I've covered it, week in, week out, it's this week, 9/2021, Overreaction Monday. Hit it, please. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, what do you have over there,
all right,
Christopher?
Let's start with Sunday Night Football because nobody really saw that coming except for probably the folks in Nashville. With or without Derrick Henry, the Titans are the best team in the AFC.
That's not an overreaction. That's not an overreaction. I am not. I'm in on the Tennessee Titans. I am in on them. You know what? And I'll repeat it every day this week if I have to. And a lot of people just don't buy it because it's still Ryan Tannehill, or it's no Derrick Henry, or you know, it doesn't look pretty sometimes. But man, can Vrabel coach football or what? Is he locked in or what? Does the team follow him or what? Is this defense getting better this week after week after week? They sure are. And everybody overlooks them. You know what I found so funny last night? Halftime. At halftime, Titans are up. That first half was remarkable last night, right?
Domination.
Tirico asks Tony Dungy for the best team in the AFC, and Tony goes, it's wide open, but I'll have to, you know, I'll just go with Baltimore. And it's just like, just look at your television set.
Yeah, it's like the Leo DiCaprio, right? Like, hey.
Like, from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I see it. Like,
yeah.
And I don't blame them because it's just sometimes we're overlooking them all the time. But I think it's time to stop overlooking them, brother.
Yeah, I think.
I'm in on Tennessee Titans.
I wanted to do they're the best team in the NFL, but I kept it AFC. I kept it AFC.
Okay, what else you got over
there? Let's just go to the other team that in that game last night. Matthew Stafford, he just doesn't have the big game chops to take the Rams.
Come on.
I mean, it's that's twice now. That's twice. Big home games.
I'm still gonna say it's an overreaction. There's still bigger games to come. There's still bigger games to come. What do you think? The lights are too big for him? Is that really what it is? I don't know.
I would just think.
Week one, the whole country was watching, and it was the Bears coming in before, you know, and the Bears' defense was still the Bears' defense, and they were all healthy and active, and the building's opening up, and everybody's there. It's a big, momentous night for the Rams, and he was tremendous. That's a pretty big football game, too, now. So I'll say that's an overreaction.
I don't know. Spanked at home by the Cardinals, spanked at home by the Titans.
I hear you. But he'll still let's just before we anoint him as the Andy Dalton of the NFC West.
Oh, I didn't say that.
That's what you're implying.
I'm implying.
Very much so.
I'm implying.
What else you got over there,
okay,
Chris?
Let's go to Kansas City here. Jordan Love's performance will make the Packers do whatever it takes to keep Rodgers beyond this season.
I think they're already doing that.
You do?
Let me just say this.
I mean,
can you lower the music just a little bit, Mike?
Love stunk. Let me just say this.
The thing I don't understand about yet, and we'll get answers as things go along here. The thing I don't understand about the Rodgers lied. He didn't lie to the Packers about not being vaccinated. And the NFL fully knew that he was not vaccinated. And
well, the Packers let him get away with it.
The Packers did not say, here's a mask. You're going in front of the media. You're supposed to do that. Or if they did and he basically said, I don't believe in the science. I think this is ridiculous. It's just a scarlet mask.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to do that. And the fact that the Packers didn't say, then we can't have you speak, or the league didn't come in and say, we know he's not vaccinated. Why isn't he wearing a mask amongst all the media? So it seems to me that they've backed his play the entire time.
Or they just can't say anything to him. He doesn't listen to them
because they're
anyway.
Trying to keep him no matter what.
Okay.
Now you can put up the music. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right. Let's go to the other team in that game, Rich. It's officially time to be worried about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense.
Wait, what?
It's officially time.
There's
he didn't
still
have a
more
turnover,
time
though.
To
I mean,
go.
I didn't have
I just,
a turnover. Oh,
I don't know.
Good,
I just I'm just not ready to get there yet. It's not good, right?
It's not good.
And I know you called me Sparky on Twitter, which I was upset with because I don't like the term Sparky.
I understand.
And part of that is Kilborn called me.
Oh, okay.
Spark.
There we go.
And Sparky.
It's
a terrible connotation that connotes disrespect.
See, that's
but
trolling.
I said the reason why you're like, calm down, Sparky, is that I said that classic Mahomes wrapped the game up. And you're like, well, he rolled out.
Okay.
He did his classic on the run that we've seen him overthrow. We've seen him throw it where he shouldn't. We've seen him pick it off, get picked off. And I know that the defender fell down on it,
he
extended the play long enough. It's there. They're still there. That's still Tyreek Hill. That's still Kelsey.
The flicker? You still see the flicker?
I see it. It's not dead yet. You know, it's like the cart's out, the bubonic plague's everywhere,
okay.
And there's still somebody telling the Monty Python football gods, I'm not dead yet. Okay? That's my answer to that.
They're still the eighth seed at the moment.
They're not. I'm not going there yet. I just won't.
All right, that's
fine. Not yet. We'll see. Hey, buddy, how about this next game coming up? Sunday night, Chiefs and Raiders. That's a huge football game. Certainly with the Raiders having lost, and the Chiefs just got one back. Chargers won, and the Broncos won. What a terrible loss that was for the Raiders in their division, even though
Raiders
it was out of conference. But that's the only silver lining right there, silver and black lining. See what I did there? Did you see what I did there?
Rich, speaking of the AFC West.
Yes.
That division is the Chargers to win or lose right now.
Well, the Chargers have already beaten the Raiders at home, and they've beaten the Chiefs on the road. They haven't played the Broncos yet, correct?
I don't think so.
Right? So I would go with that. Yeah. I'll go with that.
You feeling better about them after
Philadelphia let Derek Carr throw it all over the map, too, and they're both terrific quarterbacks. So I don't know how to evaluate that, but you have to. If the Philadelphia Eagles defense is having trouble getting home, you should stand back there. And he did take the throws they needed to, and then the big plays emerged, and I liked it a lot. So I'll agree with that. I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Yeah.
The Patriots are going to win the AFC East.
Now, you... hold on a second.
We're back!
Hold on a second.
I hope you enjoyed one
hold
year.
Hold on a second.
I hope you enjoyed one year.
This
that was
tests,
great.
This tests the professionalism of Mike Hoskins back in the back room right now, doing his usual yeoman's job of changing the cameras and getting things ready.
Yeah, of course.
Our coordinating producer.
Big-time professional.
Okay. He's a diehard Bills fan.
Diehard.
Now, Mike, I'm going to ask you if you do have it ready, the AFC East standings, because this does give credence to what Chris Brockman is saying.
Yeah.
And now, Chris, you said before the season that the Patriots were going to win the AFC East.
I did.
All of us here predicted the Bills. And,
and you guys laughed at me.
We did.
My friends laughed in my face.
They're a half game out, and they've yet to play each other yet. Now, the Bills have the get-right game right in front of them, although you thought maybe at Jacksonville is the get-right game, but they're at the Jets,
right,
where the Bengals went down, and who knows? Maybe Mike White can be healthy,
hey,
TJ.
Yeah.
J-E-T-S.
Zach Wilson, he's prepping this week. Maybe Zach gets back in the saddle and shows, hey, I picked up on what Mike White and Josh Johnson were putting down. And then the Patriots in Cleveland is a huge Week 10 football game. Two 5-4 teams.
Huge game.
Munster.
Huge game.
It is so big, and it is so big, I think Francesca would call it huge.
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 I'll still call it an overreaction.
All right.
I'll still call it an overreaction. All right. But they have yet to play each other. And
I know. Those two games are so big now.
And if, you know, the Jaguars are going to confound Josh Allen, I would expect our first hour guest in Matthew Judon and Belichick have the horses to do the same. But for the moment, I'm still calling it the overreaction, Christopher. That's what I'm calling it.
They played twice in 3 weeks in December. Man.
Love it. For all the marbles, bro.
All right, TJ, this is for you, really. Okay. I mean, Cowboys fans, look, they should just brace themselves for another early playoff.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, come on.
That's
just
ridiculous.
Brace themselves.
That's a playoff. That is ridiculous.
Ready.
That is an overreaction. I got this for you, TJ.
Please, get ready.
You know, I'm not going to be sick.
Just get ready.
But Dak is comeback, first ever comeback player of the year and MVP. That's never happened before, as Irvin said on Sunday game day morning. That might have taken a little hit.
Yeah, MVP took it.
Well, you Josh know. Allen's still, according to Vegas, the front runner,
is
right?
Is he really still?
I didn't look today.
I don't know. I don't check, but someone on Twitter put that.
Oh, okay.
So.
I know who's going to be the MVP of this league.
Can you wait?
Right now.
Can you wait 1 second?
Sure.
Do we want to do the next slide? Let's do the next slide.
Okay.
Your MVP through 9 weeks in the National Football League?
Thomas Edward Brady.
Wait a minute, did we just skip over to Dallas?
To Thomas Brady?
Lamar Jackson.
That's not a bad one, Chris.
I'm not mad at that.
I said at the beginning of the show, I'll read it again.
And we just skip by Dallas.
You just skip by Dallas.
Because it's an overreaction. Don't worry about it. Please, don't pay that any mind.
Lamar Jackson is your MVP right now.
I'll say this again. This is incredible. This is the Ravens just came up with their third double-digit comeback win of the year. Coming into this season, they were 0-6 in games where they fell down that far behind, including the playoffs.
I saw this stat.
So Lamar has totally turned that around. Well, you can't come back with their style of offense. They don't have the big play ability to come back on a team. Well, how about them apples? And they've played three overtime games. And this is, by the way, Le'Veon Bell scored a touchdown. But Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson scored touchdowns yesterday. Right? Let's not lose sight of the insanity that Week 9 really is.
It's like 2014 all over again.
The record for this is their third overtime game. You know, Week 1 was an overtime loss. Then they had an overtime win. One of those comeback wins was against the Colts. Two of these three double-digit comeback wins are overtime wins. The record for most games in a season playing in overtime is the 1983 Packers, coached by Bart Starr. They had five. They were 2-3 of those games. They went 8-8, missed the playoffs. The 2011 Arizona Cardinals hold the record for most overtime games won in a season. That's four. They went 4-0 in their overtime games. And these numbers that I'm mentioning right here do not happen without Lamar Jackson. So yeah. I'll say that is not an overreaction. But Tom Brady is going to throw, as you know, for 55 touchdowns this year. And he's so damn smart, he even chose to take Week 9 as a bye week.
Hey, last one, guys. Speaking of the NFC South, that division is going to be the one to have three playoff teams.
No.
Currently, Bucks, Saints, Falcons.
No way.
All in.
No, thanks.
Who's going to jump these guys?
No, thanks.
Who?
Hold on a minute. Now that I think about it.
I mean,
So one's coming from the NFC West. Nobody's coming from the East.
Two from the West.
Well, I mean, the wild card teams I'm talking about.
Oh, wild card.
Okay.
Yeah,
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
one from the West.
One West.
And then none from the East.
Yep.
And then you got... You might be honest over there.
The Falcons are playing better. They just beat the Saints.
Are the 49ers and the Seahawks going to come and do something in the second half of the season? There's nine games to go.
I
wouldn't count out the Seattle.
Saints an overreaction.
The 49ers are toast.
I wouldn't go there yet either.
I think they're going to have a new coach next year.
That's insane. That's the most overreacted thing out there. That's nuts, brother.
Now, what he said about Dallas was the most, and then...
Then he topped it.
Yeah.
But then again, Week 9, as I mentioned, most prone to overreaction I've seen in quite some time. Well done, Christopher, as always.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. And scene. Let's take a break. Phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Colt McCoy, baby. Colt McCoy's joining us, top of hour number three. Do we bring up Texas to him?
I don't think so.
Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, let's go to let's go to Terzo in Iowa. What's up, Terzo? How's our favorite counselor right there? All rise. Well done. All rise. How are you, Terzo?
What's up, guys?
Terzo.
Hey, Rich, I'm happy that you kind of went at those guys this morning for all the flack that you got on Thursday. Because I was going to make fun of TJ and that Cowboy loss, but since he picked that loss, I really couldn't do that.
No, it's all right, Terzo. Brockman's got his back because for the second straight time where I take TJ apart for his...
I love you think you took me apart in
No. I take you apart for rooting against me and trying to be all sorts of passive-aggressive about the Jets quarterback situation. For the second straight time, Brockman posted the video without any mention of that part of it in the copy. That's the second straight time he's done that. Okay. Chris, it's all right if you want to have TJ's back like that.
Well, because he knows you didn't really. I'm a verbal assassin. You didn't really take me apart.
What's on your mind, Terzo, outside of all that?
And I might just say this real quick though. Brockman and TJ, if you guys would have just let it be, there might have been a little bit of a controversy Friday morning without Mr. White getting hurt Thursday night.
Well, that was all set up for it. Yeah. That was all set up for it. And again, I was rooting for Mike White to do well and win that game. I want the Jets to win.
The days
of the Jets needing to lose because they have to draft their high-ranked franchise quarterback are over. They need to win every single game. They need to get that winning feeling. They need to get all that. And I wanted Mike White to do that because it wouldn't mean that Zach Wilson isn't the quarterback there anymore. Unless Zach gets completely hurt and Mike White finishes the season like 9-1, then we'd have to talk about it, which is a high-class problem. Those are three words that are never associated with my franchise. But then, of course, the three words most associated with them materialize. Same old Jets. That happened. Get right game. Those are the three words associated with them.
And then I kind of feel the same way with the Niners. It feels like we're just regressing backwards. I don't think Shanahan's on a hot seat at all, not even close. But we're regressing, and I'm kind of nervous with the fact that we traded away our future for a guy that I still don't know if I have any faith in.
Well, it's because he isn't out there yet. Don't worry about it. I think Trey Lance is incredibly talented, man. I just don't, you know, they're clearly going to go through this season without him. Thanks for the call. I know. Don't forget, you got a coach who was clearly up the you-know-what of Brandon Ayuk all summer long and all first couple months of the season. And even he admitted, I guess, to Tim Kawakami of The Athletic that I didn't know how to practice. And then we saw. He scored a touchdown. That was actually number 11 in the end zone, right? I didn't dream that up, right? I actually saw him in the end zone.
I think that probably happens with a lot of guys, right, guys? When you are such a supremely talented athlete, that you were able just to rely on your athleticism right. Until you get to the NFL, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm now the fifth most athletic person.
Right.
So you got to do that
again,
as a little thing.
And again, yeah. Kittle being out totally destroys this team's mantra and ability to run the offense at the level that Shanahan wants to run it in. And don't forget also that the lead running back went out, which the Ravens, you know, they went to the – Filene's basement of running backs and just cleared out the store.
Man.
You know, and so
it was like
they're 3-5, right?
Titans
they're
the
3-5, the 49ers.
49ers 3-5.
3-5. Yeah. Okay, they're 3-5. They got the Rams coming in. This is a huge football game. And if they start to get to 3-6, I think they throw Trey Lance out there and just say, you know,
see what they got.
See what they have in him. And I think what they have in him is a supremely gifted athlete at the position who's smart enough neck up to figure out what Shanahan's doing. And I think, you know, clearly there's a standard that the coach has about when you're ready to get out on the field. And I think at the quarterback position, that's at the highest possible standard. And after the game with Garoppolo, Shanahan was asked, you know, you're thinking about putting Trey Lance in there. I think his answer was not really.
Yeah, not really.
So they're not there.
Nope.
They are not there. Nathan in Los Angeles, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nathan?
Good to talk to you again, Rich.
Same, sir. What's on your mind?
So my answer to Brockman's thought on the South getting two teams in the in there is countered by what I was noticing and why I'm calling. Have you noticed the five losses that Minnesota has?
Yeah, they're all close, and they're all no cigar. So
yeah, I mean, it's what it is. But I'll run it down. I know you know. But
go for it.
At Cincinnati by 3, at Arizona by 1, Cleveland by 7, Dallas by 4. You can say what you want about Cooper Rush, but they still have a defense. And at the Ravens by 3. I think they're going to get in. And I think they're going to make so many very
well. I mean, they're at the Chargers next. They're home for Green Bay. They're at San Francisco. They've got one game against Detroit. They're home for Pittsburgh. They're at Chicago. They could take a two against the Chicago Bears, and they're hosting the Rams. And then they've got two games at Green Bay left. And Rodgers, we're assuming, will be healthy and back for both of them because one of them's in Week 11. I disagree, sir. And I think that they've got a quarter.
I think they're going to beat the Packers once. Let me put it that way.
I think they
might beat them once.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for the call.
Vikings.
I have very little confidence in the Minnesota Vikings. I'm sorry, man. They should be winning a lot of these games.
Yeah,
I know
there's
close
be.
Games
yeah.
this and close games that. It's just perfect example yesterday. They got a turnover in overtime.
Yeah, exactly.
That should wrap things up.
Yep.
You don't get the ball first in overtime and you turn the other team over. You should instead, you know, they went 3-out.
Yeah.
And Cousins just goes back and, I mean, Cousins needs to have one of those classic 400-yard Kirk Cousins games, you know, about, I would say, they got to have at least what with the rest of their schedule? You got to have that at least 7-8 times.
Take a look.
In order to now, the good thing for them, though, is nobody's running away with the wild card spots. They're still in it, but I just don't like their play calling. They're just risk averse way too much. And they have so many weapons. They should be blowing people out.
Look, they should have won the last two games. I think we all can admit that. That'd be 4 straight wins. They'd be 5-3. And
yeah, but Cousins didn't do enough at his position. They've got one of the best running backs in the league. They have one of the best young wide receivers in the league. And they have another one of the best receivers in the league in Thielen.
But look at their schedule coming up.
So why aren't they winning more football games? They were up a couple scores in Baltimore without Harrison Smith, and they were beating Lamar Jackson.
You think they're going to beat the Chargers next week?
I don't have any confidence in them.
No,
I'm sorry.
You think they're going to beat Green Bay the week after that?
I don't think so.
So they'll probably beat the Lions, but they're going to beat the Steelers in primetime on Thursday?
I mean, they're not going to wrap it up. They've got some very prideful people, including that coach.
But your confidence of them finishing over 500.
I mean, if Dalvin Cook runs for 100 yards, you should be winning more often than not. Certainly, when you got a defensive-minded coach and you're not turning it over, that's the way to win. And they don't win, and they make the mistakes later on.
I would say there's a little chance.
There's a lot of ifs and buts, but the problem is you're running out of road, and you're gonna need your quarterback to play a lot better than he is.
Yeah.
And I know he's been racking up the yards. I just don't have confidence. I'm sorry. But I am wearing purple.